Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcasts. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.
Lauren Bird.
What?
Because my boyfriend is from Chadburn. You know where Chadburn is? So, he talks about Lauren Bird. I've heard him talk about
it.
Wow. So, yeah. But Chadburn is a
look,
sticks.
He made it. I
Chadburn is more the sticks than Lauren Bird.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Huh?
Start my intro. The show was already on?
No, it
started. We're on live.
We're on now.
Thank you, Fred.
That's how natural.
Oh my God, he's so aggravating. Y'all, welcome to the Core Queen Podcast. My engineer didn't even warn me. I ain't hear no intro or nothing, but no, we couldn't hear anything. So we're here. Thank you, Fred. Anyway, welcome back. Y'all, I am Didi Leggett, aka the Core Queen. Welcome to another episode of the Core Queen Podcast. And I have a legend on the couch with me today. Hey, Miss Jessica.
Hi, Didi. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, thank you.
Look, y'all, I know y'all got to know who Miss Jessica is, okay? Miss Jessica is one third of the Morning Madhouse on Charlotte's number one hip hop station, Power 98.
Yes, yes.
I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Welcome. Look, I know you used to having the mic. You ready? Like, what you got? Look. Y'all, I really want to know how you started your journey in radio. Like, how did we even get here?
Going back to John C. Smith. I'm a graduate of Johnson C. Smith.
HBCU.
Yes, all day. As a matter of fact, I'm a fifth generation graduate of Johnson C. Smith University. It runs on both sides of my family, my mom and my father.
That's pretty dope.
So I grew up going to Smith, even though that was not my first choice.
What was your first?
My first choice was Howard.
Mm.
I didn't get accepted. My grades in high school were horrible. I didn't get accepted in Howard. Second choice was FAM.
Oh.
But because my grades were bad, they wanted me to participate in a summer program. Mm. And I would have had to go the day after my high school graduation.
Oh, goodness.
And I was like, I want my summer.
Right.
Right. So FAM was out of the question. Plus, it was really, really far away. I'm from Virginia.
Okay.
It was really, really far away. So FAM, that knocked FAM off the list, which then bought up Johnson C. Smith.
Okay.
And it was nothing but God.
Nothing but God. I bleed blue and gold. I absolutely love Johnson C. Smith and everything that I learned while I was there, the people that I met. But while I was there, I was a part of my freshman year. I became a part of the freshman class council.
Okay.
And what was known as JABAC, which is the Golden Bulls Activity Committee. And we planned all of these student activities on campus. Mm-hmm. One of those things being homecoming.
Mm.
And so I was backstage at the homecoming concert and ran across this loud, vivacious, just all over the place young man who is known as No Limit Larry.
Of course.
He was hosting the homecoming concert. And I told him, you know, like, I want to work in radio. Mm. And at that time, I thought I wanted to do promotion.
Mm.
So my first internship at Power 98 was in promotions.
Okay.
And I was like, this is cool, but this ain't really what it is. This isn't scratching my itch, you know,
right,
like,
right.
So then I transitioned over to the programming side and I served as Larry's intern, but also the late, great Nate Quick.
Mm.
I was his intern and interned with them for about 2 years. And it's a very special story to me because mm-hmm. it goes back to my love of Johnson C. Smith. I got hired to work the week before my graduation from Johnson C. Smith, and I did my first on-air shift the morning of my college graduation.
Wow.
So I worked from 2 to 6 a.m., uh-huh. 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., ran back to Smith, got dressed, grabbed my cap and gown, and then went to Bojangles and walked across the stage and graduated. And that was the start of my radio career.
Well, that's daggone impressive. Wow. Okay. That's pretty cool, though. Because everybody, normally people are like, oh, I went to school for this. And I did.
I went to school for communications. Okay. I had amazing teachers at Johnson C. Smith, who many of them I still keep in contact with to this day.
Mm-hmm.
They guided me along the way. They were absolutely wonderful. And because I had those teachers and then I had access to things at Power 98, like the studios and things like that,
yeah,
I was ready to get into this career.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned that you had like your top college that you wanted to go to. Was an HBCU like
next, it was always gonna be
okay,
and I think that that's partially due to the fact that I grew up in Virginia mm-hmm. Beach. I went to a predominantly white school,
mm.
And I wanted to be around my folk. I wanted to experience something different, and like I said, I grew up going to Johnson C. Smith, going to homecomings with my parents. My older brother, he went to Johnson C. Smith.
Okay.
My oldest brother went to Norfolk State back home. So I knew the HBCU experience mm-hmm. as opposed to this experience that I was getting growing up in grade school. And so for me, it was always going to be an HBCU.
Okay. That's pretty
dope. I didn't even apply to anything else.
I love it. I love it. So being a woman in what I perceive to be a predominantly male industry, mm-hmm. how have you been able to navigate that?
I speak up for myself, and you are right. It is a male-led industry. If you look at it, there's only one female-led morning show.
Really?
And that I believe there's only one. I know that there were two.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young lady in DC who was doing it, but, right now it's Dee Dee out of Houston, out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that she is the only female-led morning show in the nation. So you're right. It is a male-dominated industry. But I do oftentimes speak up for myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as much as I love No Limit Larry, he and I are great friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I have made a note, you know, I don't want to be the female sidekick for the rest of my career. And so that afforded me the opportunity to get my own show. I also do afternoons. I do 3 to 7 on Power 98. So it's called Afternoon Vibes with Miss Jessica.
Look at this. I learned something new today. Look, now I'll be able to listen to you. Yes. Okay, yes. That's pretty cool. That's dope. I like that. Because me being retired military and it's a predominantly male career field, and it's like, how do you, like, in that industry, it got to be hard to, or not, it may not be hard, but it gets exhausting with having to always do more or be more. It's just, So. You've been doing this for 20 years?
I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been full-time at the radio station for about almost 10 years now. Mm-hmm. But before that, all of that time that I was at Power 98, I was on a part-time basis. So I also had to hold down other full-time jobs while I was there.
You've been hustling.
Yeah, baby. Baby, if it's one thing, my mama used to call me her little Jamaican child because I had so many jobs. I'm a hustler now.
So what has been like the most awkward moment, like, on radio for you?
The most awkward moment on radio. I haven't had, it was probably the Peter and Matt fight. The Peter and Matt fight, which was probably the most awkward moment on radio for me. So I interviewed Peter Thomas from The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh, God.
And I interviewed Kenya Moore's ex-boyfriend. And they ended up fighting. And this video comes up every single year. As a matter of fact, it's making rounds right now on TikTok.
Oh, my God.
It comes up every single year. And it's funny to me because I read the comments and people are like, this is staged. I'm like, there is nothing about this that is staged. I feel bad because also Butterfingers catches a bad rap in that video, because if you watch it, you notice that he's in the studio and a lot of people are like, why didn't that man jump into that fight? Why didn't he do anything? Why is the woman the only one that's doing something? Well, Butterfingers had just gotten out of the hospital from something very, very, very serious.
Oh, my God.
It was like his first day back. So he physically couldn't.
Right.
He physically couldn't. And I was like, that's unfair. Right. But then I also catch a lot of slack in that. They're like, why is this young lady, why is that woman jumping in the middle of the fight? And it also comes a little natural to me. I will admit I shouldn't have done that in retrospect, but it comes a little natural because prior to me being full-time at the radio station, I worked in the school system. And I was an in-school suspension teacher. I was sort of, it wasn't exactly the dean of students, but that's sort of what my role was. So I broke up fights.
Right.
I broke up fights between students and things of that nature in high school and middle school, you know? So I sort of just jump into that. But in retrospect, I'm like, I should not have done that. But there's just so much to that story. So that is the awkward moment for me in radio.
That had to be extremely awkward.
It was. It was. It was. Because I had even told the guys, I said, no fighting. No fighting. I'm going to be the only female in the room. Please respect me. No fighting.
Right.
Let's just have a conversation about what's going on. And both of them assured me that they would. And in Peter's defense, he did. He did. He came in there 100% respectful. It was the other guy that did it. He came in there ready.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's definitely one for the books. So what's been like your top three most memorable moments outside of the awkward moment, like your best moments, three best interviews or three best moments?
Well, Cam Newton was fun. Newton, when I had an opportunity to interview him, and that one went viral because we were singing together.
Okay.
So to see that video on like ESPN and stuff like that, I thought that was super cool. That one was a fun one. This year, I have had the opportunity to not only interview Kamala Harris again, Vice President Kamala Harris again, but that led to an interview with President Joe Biden. And at the end of that interview, I made mention jokingly that because I'm interviewing the president, I'm now the favorite child in my family. And he said, well, give me your parents' phone number. I'll call them. And I laughed because I was like, wait, what? No. And he actually called my mom and my dad.
Oh, my God.
We hung up. But it's the craziest story because my mom and my dad screened their phone calls. They screened their phone calls. And so I hung up with President Biden, and then I called my parents and I said, no matter what you do, answer the phone. Mm-hmm. Whoever it is, answer the phone. And my dad was like, okay, all right. And then maybe like 5 minutes later, he calls me back. He's like, hey, while I was on the phone with you, someone called. And I was like, oh my goodness. He was like, it was a 202 number. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, Daddy, that was the President of the United States calling you. And he was like, why are you calling me? Oh. And I was like, Daddy. And he was like, well, I think he left a voicemail. So it ended up being even better because if he would have gone through, we wouldn't have the voicemail. Okay. But we actually have the voicemail that he left.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
For my parents.
That is
crazy. And he actually left a phone number for them to call him back. So.
Oh my God.
Which wow. was super cool. So those three will probably be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, so you probably are the favorite child. I mean, just saying.
I have a lot of competition with my brothers. My brothers are like top tier notch, but yeah, I interviewed the president. And the right. President. Yeah.
So who was somebody that you would like to interview that you haven't interviewed yet?
Jay-Z. Mm. Jay-Z all day. Okay. I would love to sit down and interview and pick his brain. Jay-Z, Michelle Obama.
Man.
Mrs. Obama.
Michelle Obama.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Those are my two top. It's okay. Right there. Yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's
claim
coming.
It.
So, you know, I'm going to put the air quotes up. I was a talent manager at one time, and a lot of people were like, oh, you know, social media this, social media that, but radio plays a big role in that too. So how do up and coming artists, if you can tell me, how do they get their music on the radio?
So that you bring up a great point. A lot of artists think that they need to go straight to radio. Mm-hmm. Play my song on the radio. But it's sort of the opposite. Mm-hmm. We want to see what people are saying about, hold on, let me rephrase that. Let me not say we. I have no say-so in any of the music that is played on the radio. Right. Which camera do I look at, friend?
They right there.
Now, I have no say-so in any of the music that is played on the radio. It's our boss who selects the songs and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But you have to have your business right. So there's certain things that you have to do with the music that you have to, I don't want to say certify, but you have to sort of, I can't remember the exact word.
Like getting it published, media base and all that stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But they also want to see your streaming numbers. They want to see your followers. They want to see what people are saying about your music, if people are asking for your music. Mm. So that is why social media, that is why your SoundCloud, all of those things are important. What you're doing out in the streets is important to push your music. It's not going to be once I get it on the radio, then
right
that comes, you got to reverse it.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because a lot of artists really like, are getting frustrated because they keep hearing that same. They need to see a numbers. Like, they are telling you what they want, and you're trying to circumvent the system. Like, you have to do the work.
Yeah. And I mean, Power 98 does a really good job of playing local artists. We're the only station that does it. And we do it regularly. Like on Tuesdays in the Madhouse, we have Keep It or Sweep It. And I love Keep It or Sweep It for artists because it gives you real, authentic feedback from listeners.
Yeah.
Sometimes we will put ourselves in a room with our friends and they won't give us the real.
Lying to these folks.
Yeah. Ooh, so these are people that you have absolutely, you've never met. They don't know you. They're listening to your song and they're providing you with real, authentic feedback, which is great for an artist.
Absolutely.
So I think things like, you know, Keep It, the next big thing, Keep It or Sweep It is good at night. I know that we play local music. So we do a really good job of that. I hope that artists sort of don't get offended. You know, sometimes a song will get a sweep, but it'll get a sweep with great feedback on how to make it a keep.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's good knowledge right there. I don't know. I feel like a lot of these artists just don't do a lot of homework. Like, they want things to just be given to them. So they just assume certain stuff and then they'll start bashing the people in the city about not helping them, being gatekeepers and all that. But they haven't actually done the homework and research to figure out what they need to do
and who they need to talk to. That's the other part of it.
Yeah, that's why I got out of that business. It's too much. So would you recommend, like, if a kid wanted to be a radio host or something like that, would you recommend that career path to a kid?
Absolutely. I love it. You know, I've heard people say, you know, radio is a dying industry. But, I mean, at the end of the day, when you get in your car, your radio comes on. And if there is that good content, you're not going to switch it. You're not going to turn it off. If there's that good song, you're not going to turn it off. Radio also gives, I love doing radio because I love educating people, but I also love learning for myself. So a lot of the times when I'm doing interviews, I'm asking questions based off of what I see in comments, the comments on social media, but also based off of what I want to learn and want to know about. So it's a double fold thing for me.
Yeah. And I don't even understand how radio could ever go away. Like people are going to always listen to music. That's never going to go away. That's like therapy for people. So I don't know, maybe they'll repackage it a certain way, but I think it's going to always be there.
And with, you know, with a station like Power 98, we're local.
Right.
So when you turn us on, you're hearing your next door neighbor. You're hearing your doctor on the air. You're hearing your kids' teachers on the air. Right. You're hearing community leaders that are making decisions for your community. And that's so important.
Yeah, I agree. People, get it together. Okay, get it together. So, you know, I have to always ask this particular question.
Okay.
Here in Carolina. I don't want to start no stuff, but I'll start some stuff.
Okay.
No. I'm going to rephrase the question, though. Who are the top four Carolina artists of all time?
Ooh, of all time. Don't ask me to put them in order.
Okay.
I can't put them in order.
Okay.
I mean, man. But my mind automatically goes to Anthony Hamilton.
Absolutely.
Fantasia. DaBaby. And I would even say PD Pablo.
Everybody says PD Pablo.
You
like,
gotta say PD Pablo. I mean, listen, the Democratic National Convention just happened, and while they were introducing North Carolina, PD Pablo was playing in the background.
Yeah.
You cannot deny what that song did across the globe and put North Carolina on the map. and it continues to have that power and that impact today. So and still I have had an opportunity to meet PD Pablo and chat with him. super cool guy that every time he steps out, when he hits the stage, or when he just comes to a community event, mm-hmm. he's just always just a good, genuine, nice guy.
Okay.
And I would say that for all of them, Anthony Hamilton, yeah. super dope, genuine, nice guy. Fantasia, who she gives me chills when I see her performing, man. Whether she's singing or acting.
Yes.
Just simply phenomenal, good, authentic people. And even the baby, mm-hmm. you know, even with the controversy that surrounds him and things like that, every time I see him and mm-hmm. every time I talk to him, it's nothing but good, genuine, authentic, right. like Jonathan.
Yeah.
Like really good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Carolinas produced some really good people.
No, absolutely.
And it's funny you said Petey Pablo because, you know, I'm not from here, but when I was stationed in Turkey, mm-hmm. when they played Petey Pablo, you would thought everybody was from North Carolina.
Come on.
Going crazy.
United States of North Carolina. Come on.
Yeah. And that, like, that's how I know he's from North Carolina. Yes. So he definitely put the Carolinas on the map, man. Like he killed that. And it was funny, they did do his song at the DNC, and then Anthony Hamilton sitting, was standing right behind him. That was so cool.
Yeah.
I agree. Those are definitely four solid picks. Mm-hmm. I agree. So I've had this conversation several times about the artists and the talent in Charlotte, or in the Carolinas, period, because mm-hmm. I feel like it's a lot of talented people here. But I'm trying to figure out why, outside of the people you just named, why aren't more artists being recognized globally that are from here?
Ooh. I don't know. I don't know. I really cannot answer that question. I don't know, because like you said, we have a lot of talent. We have a lot of talent mm-hmm. here in North Carolina. But I will say this. I think that it's coming. Mm-hmm. I think that it's coming. Charlotte has grown leaps and bounds. And I've had the honor of being here now for 24 years. I got here in 2000, and I've seen the change in the city over those years. And so I think with that, we will begin to see more artists here known. Our time is coming.
I hope is coming. I think a lot of artists deserve it. I've seen some of the work they've put in, and it's just, it's discouraging, and I feel bad for them because I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So I hope it does change.
We do. We really do have some. Mary Mack is super talented. Mm. Venegas. Like, we have some.
It's
really
a lot of them.
Good artists.
Yeah.
I think their time is coming.
Okay. I agree. So being in the radio profession, does it make it hard to date or be in a relationship?
I'm blessed in that area. Oh. I do. I am blessed in that area. I have a great guy who that really never comes up for us.
Mm-hmm.
He is not by any shape or form insecure or anything like that. He is very supportive, and we just have a good time. So I really don't have to deal with that part.
That's good. That's definitely a blessing.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than a jealous man.
Nah, he's not. It ain't. I don't think there's a jealous bone in that man's body.
That's good.
If he was, I'd be like, "What's wrong with you?"
Right. Listen, like, you know, some people don't like not having a spotlight. So to have a partner that's cool with that, that's pretty awesome.
And crazy enough, he has sort of become his own little personality. It's funny because I refer to him on the show as the guy. I never say his name. And that's just because I don't want people to approach him as a means to get to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like I developed this friendship with you because I'm trying to get my song played on the radio or I'm trying to get tickets to the next concert, you know, so I want him to have that life. And so I refer to him as the guy, don't refer to him by his name and things like that, but I don't hide him, you know, like there's pictures of us that I post on social media and things of that. So with that being said, he has developed his own little identity. So people will see him and be like, oh, there go the guy. That's the guy. And he's cool with it. But it is a form. Because some people were sort of like, why you call him that? I call him that to protect them.
Yes, absolutely. And it's needed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's cool. Hopefully we hear some wedding bells. The guy.
Speaking.
We need some wedding bells. Okay. So, you know, I'm sure you've heard this all the time about the dating pool has pee in it and all that. I'm so sick of hearing that. What do you think is needed to heal the dating pool? Help some of us single gals out. Why ain't that? Well, I might be quiet.
Man. Gosh.
It just feels so divided. I don't know what's happening. I don't know.
You know, I think that people have developed this relationships are supposed to look like A, B, C, D, E. You know, like they're supposed to look a certain way. And we have forgotten that relationships are supposed to be between the people that are involved in the relationships. And so what works for those people and in those relationships, if it works for them and they're happy, and then let them do them, you know? And so when we have these conversations and, you know, that people have said these toxic podcasts,
I'm trying to heal the things.
I think that sometimes we listen to those conversations that aren't the most healthy and we take them for this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, people just have to remember, let me just sort of live my relationship with my person and go out here. But people also have to, I think also people have to present their authentic self in a relationship. If you're out here and you're dating, you have to present your authentic self. And in order to present your authentic self, you have to know self. You know, so if you don't really take the time to get to know who you are, what you like, then you're going to attract all different types of stuff. I think that you have to take some time to get to know yourself and, you know, what you're looking for and sort of stand on that.
Yeah, I agree. Because I've had conversations with people. And like for some, well, we already know social media is not the place for healing anything. It's always, most of the time it's negative stuff and people are looking for a reason to drag you. But like, I hear like guys will ask me questions like, well, are you going to take your pictures down when you get this? And you, no. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, why? If I'm going to date somebody, it's going to be somebody that wants me the way I am, like this. So if it's a problem, that's probably not the person for me. I don't know why we have to change anything that drastic, but whatever. But then we had like we had this conversation with these, I'm not gonna call these guys weirdos no more. I gotta stop saying that, but it was true. They were the passport bros, and they were talking about us American women and how horrible we are and how nobody wants to date us, especially Black women. And they're going overseas to get women because us Black women just ain't it.
What's not it?
I say our attitudes. We're not, what did they say? Fred, what did they say? We weren't, what's the word Kevin Samuels uses all the cooperative. We weren't cooperative.
What sort of pushback? What am I supposed to be cooperating with?
I don't know. Whatever their rules are.
And listen, there might be a woman out here that will go for that. Go for that. But I'm a little confused because you're like, you don't cooperate, attitude and everything else, but then you're going overseas just to have sex?
That's what I said. I'm like, of course I would cooperate with you if that's my job.
But what?
You're paying me to cooperate.
What do you want? Do you want to have sex? Or do you want to find a relationship? Which one is it?
Yeah, they drag me about it. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm telling you, it's a weird concept in my opinion. If you want to date people outside of the U.S., just date them. But don't bash us black women in the process.
Absolutely.
I don't understand.
I know, and you, Burpee and Larry and I, we were having this conversation, and I was telling them sometimes the loudest thing makes it seem like it's the majority. And so if we constantly see that type of black woman, people think that that's the majority of black women.
Yep.
I know, beautiful, amazing, wonderful, educated, funny, dynamic women that are single, that are single, you know, but because the other one is the one that we see all the time, that's what people think all is. And I don't, that's not true.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of that, these dynamic single women, I'm not sure if you saw, I'm sure you saw because it was everywhere. Dr. Bryant, Cam Newton interview, Nick Cannon interview. I just wanted to know your thoughts on it, how you felt about either one of the interviews or both, because that has been a topic from, well, I think last week, everybody was talking about it.
See, I struggle with her. Okay. And here's why. Because I think that there was some truth in what she was saying to Cam Newton. But I also am watching her on Basketball Wives.
She's on Basketball
Wives? She's been on Basketball Wives this season, and I do not like her action on Basketball Wives.
Wait a minute, is that Jackie's friend?
Yes. The one who keeps going at it with Brooke.
I did not know that was her.
Yes.
I did not know that was the same person.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And so I'm like, you know, you're talking to Cam Newton about high value women and things of that nature, but then your actions on Basketball Wives is not that of a high value woman.
Right.
In the way that you're treating someone. She wasn't. So that's why I'm like, this is tough. Cause I think that what she was, I think that some of the stuff that she was saying to Cam Newton is correct. But then I see your actions on this show and I'm like,
And see, maybe I guess I would look at it like with Cam, maybe because on Basketball Wives, if I'm not mistaken, she's just there as like the friend, right? She's not. And if for Cam, I felt like she was in a professional setting, like she's doing her job. So it was kind of like two different.
Well, the scene in Basketball Wives was that really sort of was like, for me, she was doing a women's empowerment brunch.
Oh, that's right. That's what, okay. I remember that
And so I was like, at a women's empowerment brunch, you're going to call out, you single out one woman.
Yeah, that was bad.
When everybody else, there were multiple people in the room that did the exact same thing that that one woman did. Yeah. That doesn't seem very Girl Squad
to
me.
She was unacceptable.
Yeah,
I was frustrated with her in that scene. Yeah,
so that's why I'm like, I have a conflict with her. While I agree with some of the things that you say, your actions outside of that don't really match up with what you're saying that you are.
Right. So.
And maybe that's why she's single.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of the guys were like, well, why didn't this part of the clip get shown? I think she was talking about women and being delusional and stuff like that. I'm like, because the part that needed to go viral went viral. Like, y'all got to stop projecting and like take it. Like, it needed to be said. That needed to be said too. But in this conversation, we're going to focus on this.
Yeah.
And like with Nick Cannon, I felt like he just, oh God, he acted like a toddler having a temper tantrum.
He would not let her speak. No. He would not let her speak. And at the end of the day, you know, I am blessed. I came from a two-parent home with my mother and my father. I have friends who did not have that. And while they're great, there is a difference.
Absolutely.
There is a difference.
Yep.
And so many people are like, well, they got money. They got money. And I'm like, money isn't the same thing as time.
No.
Money isn't the same thing as, you know, being able to just go sit with my father every single day or my mother. It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. At the end of the day, Nick Cannon is going to have to make choices between his kids. When graduations come up, he's going to have to say, I can't make it to your graduation because I got to go to this graduation, or prom. I can't make it to this prom because I got to go to this person's prom. Yep. Or, you know, there are going to be key things that he is going to miss yep. out on, and money ain't going to have nothing to do with nope. it. So
I said the same thing. I'm yeah. like, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
It may seem easy now because they're not that big yet, but boy, all these games. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's tough. Yeah, I hate the whole "but he got money" thing. I think that's so irresponsible, and like normalizing it, that for some reason Black men normalize. Well, not all. Some Black men normalize this because that's like the pinnacle. I got money, mm-hmm. so I can do anything I want mm-hmm. with no morals, no values, no nothing. I could just do it because I got money.
And I think that's where your girl Cheyenne, the one that was interviewing, I forget
Dr. Bryant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that sort of. I agree with her in the aspect of there are lots of women out here that don't want a dime from you. Nope. They have their own money. Mm-hmm. They can do it. They want you for love and affection and that mm-hmm. compassion and everything. And so if all you can offer me is money, then we're going to clash because I don't want you for that.
Exactly.
I don't want you for
yeah.
that.
I agree. I thought it was good interviews. And it was just a good conversation that I felt needed to be had because I don't hear a lot of men talking about it. They mm-hmm. only talk about the money aspect of certain things, and they kind of like brush everything else under the carpet. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Hmm.
So what do you, like, how do you feel about like friends and family, like literally falling out over differences in politics?
I actually had this happen a couple of years ago.
Uh-oh.
This happened to me. Where me and my guy had a falling out with two friends that we were very, very close to over political mm-hmm. stuff. And it took us time to sort of come back together. It's tough because some of these topics are your beliefs. What you stand on is what you believe in. And for a person that has morals and stands on their business and things like that, when it conflicts, mm-hmm. that's tough. Yeah. It's tough. It's not just like I like the color blue, you like the color red.
Right.
You know, yeah. I think we need to do away with diversity and inclusion.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, what? Huh? Wait, huh? You know, like, or I don't see color. Well, hold on, time out, baby. Because I'm Black.
Mm-hmm. I need you to see.
Yeah,
me.
Exactly. What does that even mean? You right. know, so it's unfortunate when it happens, but you know, people stand on their business. People stand on their beliefs and their morals and things and. You know, everything doesn't have to be a drag out fight.
Mm.
You know, everything doesn't have to be blah, blah, blah. No, right. It's just like, all right, that's what you believe. I'm gonna lock that in.
Yeah.
I'm gonna lock that in.
Yeah. Cause I have some military friends that we have such different opinions on that. And I'm like, I'm not even engaging with you.
Yeah.
We're not gonna have the conversation mm-hmm. because you already have your mind made up. I got mine made up. There is no need for us to fall out over this.
Yeah.
And I like, for some reason, I feel like this time around, this right now is about values. Point blank, period. Like, I can't even go back and forth with you about policy because I feel like this is about values right now. Anything outside of that, I don't really want to have a conversation with you.
And it's different for women, especially this time around.
Whew.
It's very different yeah. for women because we are all up and down.
Yep.
Black women.
Yeah.
We are all up and down, you mm-hmm. know? There are people out here that feel like Kamala Harris just can't run the nation because she's a woman,
mm-hmm.
but a woman of color? What? Huh? No, right. You know? So yeah.
I'm like, well, the last 46 of these jokers ain't do that great of a job. Can we try at least
yeah.
one woman?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then people are like, well, you shouldn't vote somebody just because I can vote for whoever I want for whatever I want. Like, can we please stop doing that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to have a valid reason. I'm just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You can like it. I don't care if you don't like it. You shouldn't know who I'm voting for anyway.
Absolutely.
Like,
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So. You have your reasons for why you vote for people. I have my reasons for why I vote for people.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm hoping I'm seeing so much disdain for Black women right now. And I'm like, damn, y'all been holding this in? Now y'all want to tell us? Jeez.
Yeah. It's surprising too, because some of the stuff that I'm seeing is coming from people. I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was you. But yeah. I lock it in.
Yep.
I keep it in the back.
Yeah. They're coming out. They're crawling from out under the rocks. Mm-hmm. Speaking of coming out, did you watch this crazy movie? The Deliverance.
So I started it and then I ended up falling asleep. Not because it was boring, but because I was tired.
Don't watch it.
Don't watch it. Mm-mm. So what was the other? I think it was the Jeffrey Dahmer thing on Netflix.
Documentary?
Was it on Netflix?
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't. I pay attention to the stuff that I ingest.
Don't watch
it. I've heard some things about Deliverance.
I was talking to Fred about this earlier, and I just really felt like it was a reckless movie to make. I felt like it was spiritually just, no.
Well, I heard that Lee Daniels said that he'll never do another movie like
this. He shouldn't have did that one.
Really?
It was so bad. Not like a bad movie, uh-huh. but the things that was happening. My son didn't watch it because his dad like taught him early on in life, like don't watch stuff like that. Opens up portals to certain things. So my son sent me a TikTok video that went viral mm-hmm. of this lady literally breaking down the things that happened since that movie was made. From the people on the set and stuff like that. And like the prayers that you need to pray around your house to close that thing back up. Cause it's a lot.
Really?
It is a lot. And I really, 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 really believe that it was irresponsible for them to make that movie.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. They said they had to have a preacher on set the whole time. And
yeah, I did read that. I read that some things were going on with the cast.
It was too much. I'm mad that I watched it. I didn't know that was what it was about.
Yeah.
I was like,
and I didn't know either when I turned it on. When I turned it on, it was just one of the top picks. I saw everybody talking about Deliverance. And I was like, all right, let me watch it. And plus, with the role that I'm in, I have to like sort of watch things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let me watch it and turned it on. Maybe that was God telling me.
He said, go on to sleep, nope, baby. Go to sleep. Don't watch this. Yeah, I'm a little, because I have a really strong faith in God. So mm-hmm. I think I was okay. But the way my son was concerned.
Yeah.
And for him to send me a prayer, I'm like, he 14. Wow. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And my daughter texted me like, Mom, did you watch this movie? I'm like, yeah. She was disturbed.
Really?
I'm like, here, let me send you the prayer too, child. And you get the prayer too.
Well, the guy is like that. My boyfriend, he's like, no.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. He's not watching any of that. So even when I saw it, like, we were trying to find something else on Netflix, I was like, go past that one. You're definitely not going to want to watch
and
that.
I had no clue it was based on a true story.
Yeah.
I got the praying around my house like, oh, Lord, get this out of here. This is psycho. Yeah, but don't watch it, y'all. Don't watch that movie.
I wonder how it's doing. It's doing with numbers.
I'm sure it's doing good because, you know, originally you want to see something because you got Lee Dan, you got Monique mm-hmm. back together.
Yeah.
And Andra Day is an amazing actress.
Yeah.
And you like everybody's gonna run to go watch it, but boy,
I wonder how. I have to look that up.
Yeah, I was scared. Mm. I was like, this is too much. So yeah, we're not watching that no more, y'all. So I got two more questions for you. These are the two questions I ask every guest that comes on the show.
Okay.
First question is, what's the best advice you've ever received?
I have two. One, my mom gave me this advice when I got to Johnson C. Smith. She says, when you get on that campus, meet everybody. Mm. Meet everybody that is there. She was like, from the president all the way down to the cafeteria workers. Like, you meet every person on that campus because you never know. You never know. So I take that with me in life.
You know how great advice that is?
Yeah.
How different that is from what most parents tell their kids?
Really?
From where I'm from, like a state of survival, you don't talk to nobody, you don't know, you don't, like, there's this fear that's placing you for somebody to be that open and free. That's some great advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did that at John C. Smith. I was walking around with the president's cell phone number. Like, I ain't called the president right now. Like, I got to know everybody on that campus. And then the other advice that my mom gave me was, my mom is really, really good at this. So she tell me, and I realized this recently. My mom always says, speak with a smile because people can hear it.
Yep.
People can hear your smile.
Yes.
So as I'm interviewing and as I'm talking and things like that, I always sort of remember to speak with a smile because I want people to hear positivity. Mm. I want people to hear happiness.
Yeah.
People go through stuff.
Oof.
People go through stuff. Mm-hmm. I have gone through stuff. Like, yeah. I have had my dark periods. And so when people turn on their radios or they log in and they watch my content, I want them to feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the other thing. But also, my mom always told me to be positive.
Yeah.
Be positive. And I went through a time where that positivity was not in my life. Like, I was depressed and sad and didn't even realize how bad it was until I got out of it. And I was like, ooh, child, you was deep in it.
Yeah.
You was deep in it. And I never want to get back to that point. But I also want to be the positivity for the person that is in that, that is in that space. So I want to give happiness and positivity to them too. That's why I always, in every show, all of my Afternoon Vibe show, I always in every single show with I Love You. I always in every single show with I Love You. And I mean it because, one, if you're taking time to listen to me and support me, I love you for that.
Yeah.
But also there are people that are walking this earth right now that nobody says that to them. Nobody says it to them. No, they don't know. And so I want them to know, no, I don't need to know you to tell you I love you. I love you. You my sis, you my bro. I love you. And I actually got a letter from a guy who was locked up and he was like, I used to listen to you and that meant the world to me just to hear somebody say that. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. People are really going through some stuff. Be kind. Just be kind.
Yeah.
It costs nothing.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty fun. Yeah. Like, it's fun to be kind and it's to easy. People.
It's easy. Being mean is so hard. It's so much work.
It is so fun to just be nice and kind to people.
Because you just see them light up.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree. Last question. What advice would you give 15-year-old Jessica?
What advice would I give 15-year-old Jessica? I would tell Jessica, stick with it. Stick with it. It gets better. I recently was asked, last year I was asked to write a letter to my younger self for Queen City Metro. And I struggled. I sat down at my computer. I turned that letter. I asked that man for an extension because I was like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. And then when I just started typing, it came in, and it actually turned into my love letter to Johnson C. Smith. Because growing up in Virginia, in a predominantly white environment, I was never seen. Better yet, heard. You know, I recently posted about being the little girl who was constantly getting after school detention and silent lunch because I was always talking. They're like, shh, shh, shh. Then I get to Johnson C. Smith and they're like, hey, I see you. Talk. I want to hear what you have to say. And that was super special. And I didn't realize until I sat down and started writing how much that meant to me. So I would tell 15-year-old Jessica to keep going. It gets better. It gets better. Stick with it.
That's good. I love it. I love it. Your story is awesome. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you make Carolina look good.
Thank
Tell
you.
Them thank you because transplants be out here doing it.
And you do too. Thank you so thank much you. For this opportunity.
You are I'm so very, welcome. Very.
Listen, I don't come out during the week at no. night. I don't come. And I'm glad this all worked out. I've had a
I
ball. Thank
appreciate you.
You
so much. Thank Girl you. Power. I love it. So this is the part of the show where I let my guests tell the folks how to follow them, where you at, what you got coming up, if you want to let the people know.
Okay. So you can follow me on all social media platforms. That is Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I have a Twitter account, but I'm deleting it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm deleting it. I'm getting off of Twitter, and I encourage all of y'all to get off of Twitter too. But so you won't see any new tweets from me, but it is still up, but I am deleting it. I have to go through and delete my tweets. I don't just want to delete the account.
Right.
I'm deleting the tweets and everything. But everything is at Hey Miss Jessica, at Hey Miss Jessica. And Miss is spelled M-S, not M-I-S-S, at Hey Miss Jessica. You can check me out as the co-host of the Morning Madhouse, 5:50 to 10 a.m., every morning, Monday through Friday on Power 98. And then I'm back from 3 to 7 with Afternoon Vibes with Miss Jessica from 3 to 7 on Power 98.
Afternoon Vibes with Jessica. Look, I love it. Well, y'all know who I am. I am Dede Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen. I help individuals lose weight, get in amazing shape without starving yourself or spending hours a day in the gym. So if you need my help, you know how to find me. I'm on all platforms. The Core Queen, Dede Leggett. Figure out how to spell it. I ain't telling y'all that shit no more. But
oh, we can cuss? No. I didn't know that.
Oh, you used to the radio.
What? I didn't know that.
I was keeping it professional.
What?
Listen.
It would have been a different funny. Type of interview if I knew
oh
that.
Oh, my God. Yo, that is so funny. Well, yeah, I ain't cursed at all today. Let me get one out. Get one.
That was good. Okay. I know for next time.
Yes. I need y'all to help your girl out. I need y'all to like, subscribe, turn notifications on, all that stuff on my podcast, YouTube channel. Hook me up. We love y'all over there. Also, follow me on all my social media platforms. I'm not on Twitter either. So don't go looking for me over there. That's some crazy.
Yeah,
don't go over there. Y'all, I do have a few things coming up that I do want to announce real fast. So if you don't know, I produced a short film called D's Night. It will be, we're going to premiere it at a private launch party in Atlanta on September 28th at Highness Cuisine. Please come out and check us out. It's a huge event, red carpet event, so dress to impress. My co-star, Stevie Bags Jr., will be there. My director, my script writer, everybody will be there for the event. We've been submitted for a few film festivals, but we just got approved and selected for the Independent Shorts Awards in Los Angeles on September 14th for five awards. So I'll be in the building for that show on the 14th of September. So y'all check us out.
Yes.
The trailer's on YouTube right now. I think we're over 250,000 views right now. So check out the trailer. People are dying to see this film. It is not X-rated. Somebody asked me that today. No, it's not X-rated. Y'all, it's not X-rated film. I promise you. So just check out the trailer. I'll let y'all know when I can actually drop the whole film on YouTube. But for now, until we get through all of the film festivals, we got to keep it to ourselves. But if you come to the watch party, you get to see it. Amazing. September 28th, 8 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time, Highness Cuisine, Atlanta, Georgia. Y'all, we'll be here next week, same time, same place, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, live with your girl, the Core Queen. And we are out.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CourtQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CourtQueenPodcastStudio.com today.